Thank you for joining the Auto Andy podcast. In this episode, I will be describing what it takes to get a subprime deal approved on a car that you want and to make it smooth so that you don't have any problems while you're trying to get your deal put together with the dealership and the bank. Hey friends, what's going on? This is Auto Andy. You're tuned into the Auto Andy show. I just want to kind of jump right into it. The whole point of this podcast and these videos and the information is to educate buyers and potential buyers on the best way to put their deals together, no matter what you run into. Now, this isn't an ad or anything that's promoting necessarily to buy from us. I just want to help people understand the process a little bit and how to put some of this stuff together, because it can be pretty complicated. And I'm going to jump right into the reason I'm saying it's complicated. I've had several issues here recently with customers if we trying to get approved on a car. If we back up a little bit, there's a couple different ways that you might be trying to finance your car, or might be trying to put a deal together for you. You either got the prime financing, which is, if financing is not going to be a problem. You've got subprime, which maybe you've had some credit challenges and it's difficult to get approved, so you have to go to a bank that will finance you if you don't qualify for the prime lending. And then there's buy here, pay here, which is you've seen some of the smaller lots that they do the financing in-house. So as long as you meet their criteria, they have a vehicle right on their lot that they can do the financing with right in-house. It's a little more lenient than some of the subprime as far as the qualifiers. But some of the downsides to buy here, pay here that you might hear people say, and I don't know that this is always true, but a buy here, pay here car is not going to be in great condition. It's usually an older car, higher mileage. If there's problems with it, you're still expected to pay for the car. But people get themselves in these crunches where they get that car. So let's just say you go to a buy here, pay here lot, and they give you an approval and they say, yep, you can get this 2008 with 120,000 miles on it. It's available for you. You qualify. Now your payments are going to be $400 or $500 a month on maybe a car that you wouldn't normally pay that amount for. And you drive it for the first month, the transmission goes out. Now you have a transmission repair, several thousand dollars. You can't afford it. So what you do is you say, I'm just going to send the car back. And then they report that as a repossession. So that's one thing that I see happen quite a bit. After they go through that, customers go through that buy here, pay here experience, now they want to get a loan on something that's a little bit nicer through a bank, and the qualifiers are a little more difficult to do. So we're going to start like right at the beginning. The whole point that I want to help educate people is because there's so much paperwork involved with this. First thing that we do when you come here, first of all, I work at ePro Auto Sales. It's a small used car lot in Kokomo, Indiana, on the corner of Clayton Markland, and we specialize in helping people find great pre-owned vehicles in all budgets, whether it's the $2,000 or $3,000 car, or you're looking for a $35,000 or $45,000 car, whatever it is, we want to help you find it. Right now, what I'm being led to is that we're getting quite a bit of, maybe it's the time of year, or maybe it's just, you know, what we're designed to help, or what we're attracting, which is fine. I want all business that we can get. But we're getting a lot of people that come in and ask this question right up front. How much down do you guys have to have to get your car? How much money down do I have to put to get a car from you guys? And one of the important things is that's a big indicator that they're used to buying at a buy here, pay here lot, because it most of the time comes down to exactly that, money down. But it's hard to tell when you're submitting to a bank, an actual lender, a financial institution, because it depends on several variables. You know, the first thing is the most important thing is going to be your credit and your credit score. In the next segment of this episode, I'll explain what vehicles you are most likely to get approved on and how that's broken down when you're in a subprime situation. Now, I just ran into this over the weekend. I think it's interesting. So I'll get to, and for, I'm not making fun of any customers. This is just something that I think people don't know. But if you think about them, when you get walked through it, you think that really doesn't make a lot of sense, or yeah, that does make sense what you're saying. So customer comes in, they want to know, we've got several cars out here on the lot. We've got 25 cars or so. I'll show you guys as we get going here. And so they drive by the lot, they'll come in. And they say, hey, how much money down on your cars? And I'll ask the question just like this. Well, it really depends on the lender and the car and the whole situation, because it really does. How do you think your credit is right now? And they say, oh, my credit's not the greatest. It's not real good. So if we ask them on a scale of 1 to 5, where they fall, 5 being the best, and obviously then there's everything else, they'll usually say, 2 or 3. If it's not a 5, then it's, you know, we're going to need a little bit of help getting it approved. So first thing is income. If you're making, you know, $2,000 a month, most of these lenders are not going to let you have a payment that exceeds 25% of your income. So that's very important. And that's gross before taxes. So that's very important to understand. They're not going to let you have a payment that's more than 25% of your total income. So that's the first thing we need to look at. And then the next step from here, I know this doesn't really seem like it's a major point, but it is going to come down to a couple of things. Vehicle. I've worked in the business and I've been in the car business since 1999. So I spent most of my working life doing this. I've learned a lot along the way, and I do not know it all, but I have learned quite a bit. And I was told a lot all the way through my time in the business that it doesn't matter what cars you have for people trying to rebuild credit. And I'm learning nowadays, yes, it does. So if we are focused on how much down and how much the car is, we may not even qualify for that car. So the first thing to pay attention to is these banks classify certain vehicles in groups. And the way that they classify them, they put them in class sections. Certain types of vehicles perform better with those banks than others. Now let's talk about what that means. That means that if a bank does 100 deals, they do 100 loans with people, right? And out of those 100 loans, they have to repossess half of them. And that means the customer did not pay the bill as agreed. So they went back and got their car. The bank went and got the vehicle. So now out of those 50% that they have repoed, they noticed, and this is over time, they figured this out, that maybe all of those or half of those were a certain type of car. So now if that becomes a trend, and it's not necessarily this car, but I'm just going to pick, let's say it's a Dodge Omni, a Plymouth Omni or whatever. Let's just say it's something off here. So they're going to classify that vehicle as a lower tier. It'll be a class 1. That means they don't like to lend on those vehicles without a substantial amount of money down, because over time what that's shown is that it's shown that they're likely to have to repossess that vehicle. So it does matter what vehicle. Some vehicles do better. Hondas, Hyundais, Kias, Toyotas, Subarus, they like those vehicles because people who get into those cars tend to stay in them, and they don't have to go repo those. They don't have to repossess those. So one of the very first most important things is going to be, you know, what type of vehicle. I know I keep feeling like everything's important, and they all are, they all go together, and that's where I would come in and help guide you through that process. But instead what we get a lot of times is, I'm looking for an SUV with a third row, and I've got about $1,000 down, you know, can you get me approved? And I want my payments around $200 a month. That's great. I would love to help you do that. But if you're not in a prime situation, it's probably not feasible on a decent car. In this next segment, I'll be talking about why it's so important to have the proper address on your driver's license and making sure your name matches, as well as proof of income being provided. So let's take a minute and talk about your driver's license situation. You can be very prepared when you come in and you know that you're subprime with different things out there, like Credit Karma and your credit cards. If you have those, they often provide some type of credit score calculator that's in there. And you can always just get with Credit Karma, really, is the best thing, I think. It's going to give you, it won't be exact, but it's going to give you a good indication of where you actually are credit-wise. So you know if you're anything below a 620, that you're probably going to be subprime. And even still, you probably still could be a subprime if you are in a 620. And remember, subprime just means credit rebuilding, and it's going to be higher interest rates and harder to get approved because you have to have all the stipulations. So if you are someone that moves around a lot from place to place or from home to home, you need to be very aware of your driver's license situation. It needs to match where you actually live. A recent situation that I had was, I had a, I'll make this short because it's kind of hard to follow. I had a customer that had one last name that she submitted the application on. Well, on her driver's license was a different last name because she had been married and divorced. But since that happened, she's now remarried and she has a different last name. So we have three names here going on. The contract is in one, she wants to put it in one name. The application was submitted in a maiden name, and now it's all going to be need to be in her new married name. Now, here's the difficulties that come along with this. Every subprime deal, and even some prime deals really, but every subprime deal, they're going to have proof of residence. Now, proof of residence is going to be a utility bill that's in your name at the address that you've submitted. A utility bill that's in your name at the address that you submitted on your application. So if you've moved and you don't have the right, you have an old address on your driver's license and no utility bills at your new place, it's going to be tough to prove residence. And not just for the bank, but here's your next problem, is you're going to have to go to the license branch and register and title your vehicle. The lien holder is going to be very aware of that because they want to make sure that they have the lien assigned to their title. So now when you go to the license branch, what's going to happen is you're going to go into BMV and you're going to say, yeah, I want to register my vehicle. And they're going to say your name doesn't match. And guess what they're going to want? They're going to want proof of residence to you. They're going to want two utility bills, maybe even a social security card or birth certificate from you as well. So there's things that you have to do ahead of time to make sure that it's going to be easy to get approved. And I know there's car lots everywhere, so it's easy just to drive out and start looking at the car. And sometimes I'm kind of the bearer of bad news if I make it sound too difficult, but really I know it's going to cause us problems later on, and that's what you really want to avoid. Because your paper plate is going to be good for 45 days. We have 30 days to get you the paperwork that you need. But when you go to the license branch and you wait until that 45th day and your plate's expired, there's no way to get you another plate. So now you have a car that you can't legally drive because the paper plate's not good on it. And that's going to cause you problems as well. So we're talking about being prepared. That's the big thing here is being prepared for this situation. The next thing, when we go back and look at this, we talked about your overall credit score, and that's knowing where you're at. So you know what type of loan you're going to be looking for. The second thing, and pretty important, is the driver's license. You need to make sure that that's proper and has the right address, has the right name, how you want it. If you have a hyphenated name or something like that, that's got to be right. And then now we're to the point after the credit score and the driver's license, income. So on your application, you submit, I make about $35,000 a year. So we submit it $35,000 a year. Remember, the bank is loaning you money based on your income. So if that number's off just a little bit, they're not going to do that deal for you. They're not going to fund the deal for the dealer. They're not going to make it so we can actually legally own that if we're the customer. We can't legally own it if we don't have the right paperwork. So, and I'm huge on making sure we have everything up front so there's no problems for you. I've seen these things go south and it's just not pretty. It's not a good situation for anybody. So you got to make sure, how can I prove my income? If you're at the beginning of the year, so if you're at anywhere January, February, March, if you're not all the way through March, there's only one good way to prove your income, and that's going to be your W-2 from last year. So at this point, January, February, everybody should have their W-2s from where they worked if you were a W-2 employee, and it should show you, it should show exactly here's what I made, and it should match what you submitted on the application. And not to get too complicated, but if you happen to be a 1099 employee, which means you might be self-employed or your employer doesn't take taxes out, then we're just going to need your last three bank statements to show those deposits. Okay. No, that's not too difficult. And a pay stub never hurts because as well, even though you can't use it for income in those first 90 days of the year, you need the W-2, but it does help because it's got any proof of your name and it also have any proof of your address. So keep your address updated with your employer as well, because you can use that as proof of residence in some cases, especially at the BMV. So W-2 form, last three bank statements, and then of course a pay stub. Once we get through March, that now gives the lender 90 days to where they can see, okay, this is what this person is earning in this period of time. And then you probably just need your most recent pay stub at that point. Now, I get a lot of people who say, well, my employer gives me my pay stub, it's all electronic. No problem. We can email and print and all that stuff, but we just have to get it done up front. And I face some resistance sometimes when we're doing that, because I think people just want to come in, get the car, and move on. Unfortunately, we have to jump through some hoops to make all of that happen, because we're going to send it all in. Matter of fact, one of the bank packets, for those of you that are watching, and we'll make sure not to show you the name on this, but I mean, this is a bank packet here of all of that stuff. And I mean, if you just look through it, I mean, that's a lot of paperwork, a lot of proofs, a lot of things that we have to get. And sometimes if they decide they don't want to accept the proof, they don't have to, and we'll send it. They'll say, hey, you have to get me something else. And it seems like we're giving the customer a hard time, but we're really just trying to help through the process for both of us so we can get this thing moving along. It's a lot of paperwork to deal with, and this next part I'll be talking about how having everything up front can save you time in the long run and just going down and checking off your checklist. And you know, you always want to make sure, and this is what I do on my end, is I make sure I get that stuff up front and I'll fax it or send it in, scan it and send it to the actual lender ahead of time and get a pre-approval. So I know there's no question, and it's just boiling down things from there. Matter of fact, if I could show a checklist here real quick, I'll show you one and we probably need to make one of these up so that people will know. It's not always just the dealer giving you a hard time. We'll find one of those here in a minute. It's just super important. Now, the next thing is finding out, you know, if you have a vehicle to trade in that you have the title to, that's always good and will be treated as cash. But if you have a vehicle with a loan on it, it's not always going to be worth what you owe if you didn't put a lot of money down at the beginning. So that's something to think about too. We'll talk about that in a later section, but that's just something to think about. But here is what a checklist looks like, if you can see that there, from one of our lenders. And I mean, and it's got all of these things right there, right on it, proof of income, proof. So you just got to go through and check these off before you send it in, and that will help get your deal done. Now, this particular example I gave you this a minute ago, where it was said, the lady was upset. She's like, this is way too much to deal with. And I get it. It was a lot to deal with. She said, I've never had to do this before, but she had a loan with an actual lender rather than just with buy here, pay here. So sometimes the criteria is definitely different. Anyway, so for today, that's our short segment on just looking. I'd like to start a daily, really, or maybe even weekly, if this has some value to people, of how to get approved, just some of the ins and outs of stuff, because it's really tough. We've learned as we're getting started here to find the right vehicles for these type of programs and get the customer in a situation to where they're willing to work with us. That takes a lot of compassion, a lot of empathy. Sometimes people have fell on rough times and it's just hard to get something put together for them, and that's what we're here to help do. So stay tuned. Any feedback is great. If you guys want to leave some comments at the bottom, leave me a message. You know, like the page wherever you might be seeing this, and go ahead and subscribe to it if you're checking it out on YouTube. We'd appreciate it. I just want to add some value. At the end of the day, I don't mind if you get a car from us or not. I just want to be able to help people through it, because rather than sit back and be frustrated about why is it like this, maybe we can start making some of the changes by just telling people exactly what's entailed and how to do it and how to do it smooth. So thanks again for watching. I'm Auto Andy, and this is the Auto Andy Show. Thank you again to everybody for taking the time to listen today. This is just one topic that I feel needs addressed, and there needs to be some education about. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me at eproautosales765@gmail.com, or you can just leave me a message right here, whatever platform you're listening on or wherever you're seeing the video. I just am sincerely appreciative and grateful for everybody taking the time to listen. And again, stay tuned for more like this, and have a great day.